I'm glad to have the opportunity to bring a little message here today. And it's important to know what the Word of God has to say, because I'm definitely not speaking for myself. I'm speaking for the Lord, right?
Amen.
And we all know that it's important to put God first in our lives. So we need to have the inspiration of His Word. So let's go ahead and open up to Genesis, the 32nd chapter. And some of the things that were hit on here this morning, I've kind of had a few things here that pertain to that. And when the battle's over, we shall receive a crown, right?
Amen.
Well, sometimes there is definitely, not sometimes, quite often there's a battle. And you think, well, why is the battle here when it should be there, you know? But just thinking about the persecuted church overseas, all kinds of, for instance, the magazine, the martyr, persecuted martyrs, or however that magazine is. And it opens up my eyes to a lot of things, sure does. Mm-hmm. Because we have it flesh. And when people die for their faith, I heard about this pastor over there in Africa that had his head cut off for the cause of Christ because he would not denounce the name of Christ. That ought to put us to shame, right? But there was a great impact. If anybody's willing to sacrifice to show to the lost world that there is a true and living Christ, there would be that man that would set the precedence, right? And that's why that we ourselves are to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. And I want to preface that pretty much about what actually Moses went through, because he was an intercessor, wasn't he, for the Israel race of people, because the Lord said, my wrath is hot against these stiff-necked people. And he did not take their side, no way, but he said, Lord, remember what you promised here. It was an unconditional thing, wasn't it? With Isaac and Jacob and all those that went before him.
Yes.
And we know it's important for us to know that there is a true and living God that loves us in spite of our sin.
Amen.
I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. There's nobody here today that deserves anything that we have today. So let's go ahead without any further ado on this, as you might say it, in verse 1. And I want to read down to verse 10. And then go into the rest of it a little bit later. But this is all chuck full of goods here. Let's, of course, the whole Bible is as far as that goes. But this really, in other words, sometimes you have to apply it to your lives before you can relate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and look here, since there's been prayer for the message. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us a god. Make us gods, that is, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that thou that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him. In other words, they waited for a long time, didn't they? And they said, what happened to that guy? He's not coming back, and he's not giving us instructions like he said he was going to do, and we need someone to lead us. Well, let me just pause just for a minute. All of us need leaders, don't we? It doesn't make any difference who it is. I've had jobs that I've been the leader on, and I've had jobs that I needed to be under subservient to that individual that told me what to do. Well, humility is a big issue today, and a lot of people, they don't want to be, as the pastor related here, under subservient to their boss. So here we see the problem here, and Aaron said, Exodus 32nd chapter.
Thank you.
Sure. And Moses, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of the wives and of your sons, can you believe that or not, and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in the ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool. Can you imagine that? Making that big old golden calf out of gold and scrolling it. Well, that kind of reminds me of who are those guys that scrolled the four presidents' heads up there in Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine doing that? Brother, that took a lot, didn't it? But this took a lot, too, to mold this calf. And first of all, he gave in to the people's needs. He was looking for what? Acceptance, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that a soul winner can't be listening to the crowd, because the crowd doesn't want to hear what you got to say. And that's what I like about Brother Jordan, how that he doesn't give in, and he's been mocked and ridiculed and put down, and I won't go into all that. But let's continue. And he received them at the hand and fashioned it with a graven tool, and after he had made it a golden calf, and they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." I want you to take note of that. He was knowing what was going on, and I equate him sometimes in my mind as I'm studying on this as Adam and Eve. What does it say here? It says that these be thy gods, but most of all, he gave in to the people, and Adam gave in to Eve, didn't he? She was the first transgressor, but he knew what he was getting himself into. And I believe, look at what it says here. Tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord, a big L on that Lord. He was putting God, wanting to, but he was compromising, wasn't he? You know any Christians that way that are compromising? Brother, I know several of them that claim to be Christians, whether they really are or not. And I think some of them are, but there's some that are not. They're just playing the song and dance, so to speak. Let's read on. And they rose up, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. That's a big one right there. They ate and they drank and they rose up to play. How many churches are playing today? I was at a church there in Lincoln, and I don't know necessarily to bring up to the name, but here's this woman. She had a big old long neck, about that long. Seemed like that old neck was going like this, you know, and she was swaying with the music up there, and I couldn't believe it, that they had that kind of music. But on the other hand, I could. There's a lot, and it seemed to be a fairly sound church as I went in there, and I went there a couple times, and I won't go into the song and dance while I was there, but nevertheless, they were doing what? Appeasing the crowd, weren't they? Yes. They were wanting the crowd to accept what they were doing. And we don't come here for fun and games, do we? And did you come here for fun and games? Do you come for the food? Oh, okay. You come for the preaching. Okay. So we know that Aaron was wanting to please the crowd.
Right.
And that's the way a lot of churches are today. And they rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings, and they played. And the Lord said unto Moses in verse 7, "Go and get thee down, and for thy people, which thou broughtest up or out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." That's what the Lord said to Moses. They've corrupted themselves. He knew what was going on. He knows your mind before you even put it into action. "And they turned aside quickly out of the way, which I commanded them, and they have made themselves a golden calf and worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, with the little g, and O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Can you imagine that? You know, I think about what happened here to the Israelites, how that they were under bondage for 450 years, stomping in that clay and going out and getting straw, and they had to get their own straw, didn't they? And they put it in. Then they begin to complain that they... I think it was that they had to get their own straw because it was brought to them before. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, all those times, can you imagine all that hard labor, brother? And you know, sometimes I complain because I can't work anymore. Can you believe that? And a lot of people out today, they want to complain because they're working. Well, I enjoy all the works of my labor. But you know, it took a lot of labor for Aaron to mold that calf, didn't it? And he went out and he plucked off the earrings off of the guys and the gals' ears and made a golden calf. Well, there must have been a lot of golden earrings out there. And we know it's important to know that they were not ignorantly of this. They knew exactly what they were doing. And they turned aside quickly out of the way which I've commanded them. They turned aside. Brother, are we ever seeing a turning of the side today?
Yes.
To go to the ways of the world and compromising with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, so to speak. Whoever comes down the pike and they don't accept it, they get rid of them, don't they? But there's so many times that we ourselves want to Even ourselves want to turn aside and quit sometimes, don't we?
Right.
I imagine our pastor wants to quit every now and then. I don't know for sure. But there's times that our weight becomes, our flesh becomes weak and we become weary. And he must have. And I assume because of the job that he has, he becomes weary, no doubt. Look at verse 9 and 10 now. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. He only had one man that was standing up for God, didn't he? The Lord, that is. And we know ourselves that he wants us to be individuals. Sometimes we feel like a lone duck, so to speak, out there. Especially when people give their snoot and they groan and they moan because you give them a track. Well, what harm is that going to do? There's a guy that I was just thinking about, and you don't know him. I don't believe. I'm sure you don't. But this guy I had run around with when I was a younger guy. Got out of the military, and we were hooting and hollering and having a good play session, as the Israelites were doing there. But I did not have God in my life at the time. And then I met with this guy later on. And after my late wife died, I thought, well, maybe he's changed. Well, I witnessed to him all that time, and he wouldn't receive Christ as a Savior. Well, I don't know whether he's even saved today or not, but he separated himself from me. And I thought to myself, what have I done to make this man mad at me? You know what it is? It's got to be the gospel. Because I represent what is right, and he doesn't want to live right. And I won't go into any more about as far as his testimony there. But what I'm saying is people are not going to look kindly at you if you start witnessing to them. And I've even had people at Menards say, oh, I remember that guy. And they began to, and they didn't know I was the same guy, and they began to put me down for handing out tracts. Well, the Lord knows that I'm on his side, not on their side. So, God called the stiff-necked people, called them a stiff-necked people, because they went the ways of the world. Can you imagine this? And you know, today, fundamentalism of all kinds, whatever it might be, every shade, color of everything out there that used to stand for God. I think Brother Aguiar had this on his track. 850 churches closed, Baptist churches, every year. Mm-hmm. Is that possible? Brother, that's a lot of churches. It's no wonder we're in such bad shape as we are. We know that there's churches that are closing their doors because they are not able to stand in the gap. But Moses did. And so they didn't have fight per se against the enemy here. God took care of them all. During the stretch across from Kadesh Barnea to the Promised Land, I believe it was, as we went over that this morning, that they were having all the provisions, all the food they wanted, but they didn't want the bread that was provided for them in the morning. And they had to eat it that day or it'd go to bed, wouldn't it? And so we know that it was provided for them, but yet they begin to complain, we want us a leader, and this, that, and the other. Well, just naturally, we all want a leader because we don't want to take the bull by the horns. And not to say that I wouldn't go to jail, brother, on this licensing issue, because I would. But you know something? There's a lot of people that don't want to stand up in the gap and be a witness. We can really get hell in our mind every day thinking about people dying, going to hell. That should motivate each and every one of us to pass out tracts and be a witness. But, you know, I find myself this. I find myself not giving out tracts like I should. And I think to myself, why didn't I give out a tract that day? Because I had one in my pocket. I thank Brother Kirk for going to China, not having the fear of the communist people over there that are trying to chop his head off. But God protected him. God protects us. He puts angels, so to speak, over us and takes care of our needs. Well, there's plenty to go over here. But God destroyed the enemy of the Israelites. And they didn't have to even lift the sword, did they? God took care of them, destroyed the Egyptian army as it went across the Red Sea. They didn't have to lift a hand, did they?
Right.
But yet they complained. And they murmured and they said, we want us a leader. They had the wrong leader, though, didn't they? They had the old false guy. Can you imagine that? I can't even imagine that. But you know something? This United States is no different. Because we put sports, we put activities right. of all kinds before the Lord. And is that not a golden calf? Sure it is.
Yes.
We just don't look at it that way. And so the people got what? Got tired of waiting for Moses for 40 days. And so therefore, many times, they wanted to just let it all hang out, and they did. Let's go ahead and read a little bit more here. In verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why dost thou wax hot against thy people, which thou brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore, and this is the turning point right here in verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountain and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Moses stood in the gap. By the way, does everyone in your family know the Lord? Not in my family. We are to stand in the gap like Moses did right here. I love about this passage here. Moses stood in the gap for the people of Israel. Otherwise, he said, I'm going to build a nation out of you, Moses. Otherwise, we'd be looking over at Israel calling that Moses, right?
Right.
And we know it's important to be able to look at this rightly because we are that intercessor for your relation and for neighbors around you. We've been praying for our neighbors over and over and over again. And maybe the Lord has softened their hearts. I don't know. I won't go into detail on that necessarily. But we need to stand in the gap and be counted for the Lord and not to back up and compromise. And I don't think we've got any compromisers here. But you know, sometimes we do in a little way. We compromise. Mm. And we need to repent. I repent of compromising a little bit here and there. You know, the compromising takes place up here, doesn't
right.
it? And we've got to guard our heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. As the old insurance man said it the other day, due diligence, due diligence. And I stuck in my head. We must be able to know the Lord wants us to be diligent in our prayer life so we can be an intercessor for our neighbors, our friends, our relatives. And I've got a son that grieves me over and over again. I fast and pray for him, but it doesn't seem like anything's taking place. But let's go back just for a little bit, if you don't mind. Brother Tennant, the former pastor, said, I prayed for my dad for 15 years, and he finally got saved before
Amen.
He died. You know what? We don't want to give up, do we?
No.
I don't want to give up. I can't give up. No matter what anybody else says, but we don't want to give up. So people got tired of waiting and said, Aaron, make us the golden calf and let us be led by that God. Crying out loud. How ridiculous can you get? We say to ourselves. Well, why do people go into abortion the way they do today? Because they're blinded.
Right.
I can't think of the name of that film I watched here the other day. You remember that, Jesse?
Unplanned.
What was it?
Unplanned.
What?
Unplanned.
Unplanned, yeah. And they have it different places. We rented it out from the library, I believe it was. But you probably heard about this, of course. Down in Texas, this woman performed 22,000 abortions. It just grieves me what happened to these abortions. And they had an iron rock gate out there, and the Christian people were over there praying every day. And some of the gals that come there for abortion, they went away because they were praying. But she did not turn her heart to the Lord until the very last straw. And then she wept and she cried about what she did, even her own abortion. And I won't go into detail. It's graphic. And if you ever... Once your eyes opened up, watch it, because you can rent it out. Watch it. It'll stir your heart. What's the scoop there? Why do they do that? Because they're blinded, aren't they?
Right.
And we need to be more of an intercessor like those people lined up on that, that iron rod fence, praying for the abortionists that are blind. Why did Paul do what he did? Because he was blinded, didn't he? And the Lord took the shackles of blindness off his eyes. He was blind for a short time. And the Lord took care of the rest of it. And then he said, what would you have me to do? Well, there is the question. What would we do in a situation like that? Do we want to say, oh, I'm glad I'm not like this individual over here. I'm glad I'm not like that person over here that's committing horrific sins. Well, just like an old man that led me to the Lord, which has been gone for a long time now, he said this, if any circumstance and a given opportunity, you can commit any sin that any of these rest of these people commit. I cringe to think that I could ever commit homosexuality or do an abortion or something like that. Because there, where is it? In some state. Oh, Illinois it is. You don't even have to be a doctor. They don't have to have parental guidance, in other words, permission. And they take babies right out from the period of 9 months. What is this country coming to? Sickening, isn't it? And you say, well, I know about all these things. Well, it bears repeating, doesn't it? We know the Bible, but it bears repeating. Therefore, we must apply it to our lives. Instead of the rebuke, the people said to Aaron, bring we all your golden earrings and you make the calf. They didn't make the calf. They had to have a leader, didn't they? But he led them in the wrong direction. But you see right here, in verse, where was that at again? Here it is, verse 5, the very last part. Tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. You know, there's a lot of churches today that pretend that they are worshiping God.
Right.
But they get up there and have their song and dance and all that. Well, let's hurry on. I want to read a little bit more. Let's look at verse 13. Remember, Abraham, Isaac and Israel, in other words, and thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and all the land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. So Moses is bringing this back to the Lord. The Lord knew all things, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He was just wanting to try Moses to see how he's going to take a stand. And you know, the Lord knew you from the very beginning. Don't ever cast away your confidence when it goes to giving God's word out. They may be indifferent towards you. They may scowl you. They may even kick you in the rear, like I've been kicked in the rear a few times. But you know, the Lord will use that testimony that you're giving to those people, whoever it might be, to turn people's hearts around. So Moses was saying, do you remember, Lord? Do you remember Isaac and Abraham and all these servants of yours that you have an unconditional promise? And that's exactly what he was saying. Unconditional. The Lord was using him as an intercessor. And the Lord repented of the evil which he brought to do unto the people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain. Two tables of the testimony were in his hand. And the tables were written on both their sides. In other words, commandments on both sides. And on one side and on the other, they were written. And the tables were the work of God. And the writings was the writing of God, graven unto the table. And this is what I like right here. And when Joshua heard the voice of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. What kind of war was that? It was not fighting against each other, was it? And they shouted.
Mm-hmm.
What were they doing? They were singing down there. But yet it sounded like a war. Well, I've been in. I went to a church. I'll just pause just a minute. I went down to a church. I did a siding job, a big three-story siding job down there. And down towards, where was it? Wichita, Kansas. And Newton, I believe it was, right around there. And went into a church. Because I didn't want to come all the way back here to go to church. So I thought, well, we'll go ahead. And the two other guys that I hired to help me out went into this building. Oh, brother, you wouldn't believe the music. It was terrible. And I left and went out and sat in my car. And these other two guys sat there. And I don't think they were saved. But nevertheless, they might have been. But they listened to that stinking loud music. About blew my eardrums out. This is exactly what's going on here.
Right.
They had the rock music like you wouldn't believe. It had to have been filthy to get their attention. And look at verse 18. He said, it is not the voice of them shout, for mastery, neither is it, is it the voice of them crying for or being overcome. In other words, they weren't crying in pain. They were shouting. It says, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. There's the key issues right there, sing. And then, yes, in verse 19, and it came to pass as soon as he came unto the camp, and he saw the calf and the dancing. There we have it right there, and the dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, most of you guys weren't saved until later. I don't know, Brother Carl wasn't, Brother Dave, Randy, and all of us, really, would come right down to it. I've been guilty of dancing in dance halls. You know what? It seemed to be joyous, didn't it? It did at the time. Once I got saved, it was bad news for me. I wanted to get, matter of fact, I took my old records like this, and I began to play Frisbee with them and burn them up. Why? Because I didn't want to even have that stuff around.
Right.
We know music can be either good or bad.
Right.
And it'll soothe the soul like David had for Saul. He went in and he soothed his bad spirit that was in his heart. And I know it's important to listen to the right music.
Amen.
And so he took the calf, which they had made, in verse 20, and brought it into the fire, and ground it to powder, and strewed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. Boy, oh boy. Can you imagine drinking gold, Joy? Would you like to drink gold? I don't think so. But you know what? Today, the world is going for the gold, aren't they?
Right.
Not for the goal of winning a prize, but they're going for the gold to be able to get rich. And why do they go to these gambling casinos? They're dumbfounded. They're just right down ignorant of the fact, he that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. So we know that poverty, like up on the reservation that I used to work, they gambled their kids' money away all the time. And they were suffering for it. But they had a problem thinking, just one more gamble, one more time, and I'm going to get rich. Well, they're stealing from other people, aren't they? Sure they are. They're stealing. So, I haven't even got through my first page here, and I have four pages here, but this will be good for another time. So instead of rebuking the people, Aaron said, well, bring me the gold. That will pay a lot of problems in your life. You get all the gold, you can have it all. No, you know, several of these politicians, they want the gold, don't they? How about old Goldberg or whatever that old boy's name is? $61 billion. Is it gold? No, Bloomberg. That's in Bloomberg. $61 trillion, not billion. There is a billion. I don't know. I think it's a billion. But nevertheless, he's got all the money he wants, and he spent I don't know how many millions on these campaigns. But the words out of his mouth is not going to fool people, is it? It's not going to fool people, because I think that President Trump is going to win with a landslide. That's my prophetic notice there. So, instead of the rebuke that Aaron said, he should have said, no, you're not going to go through with this.
Right.
And what happened here? Let's go a little further here. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it, and so they swallowed it. Verse 21, and Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people do or unto thee that thou hast brought to so great a sin upon them? Moses said this. What have you done, Aaron? You're my brother, and you ended up compromising these with these people, and you ended up doing them wrong. Why did you do that? I can just imagine Moses becoming irate. I know he's irate, because it talked about him being in hot displeasure. That matter of fact, the next verse says it. And Aaron said, let not thy anger of my Lord, with a little L, wax hot, that thou knewest the people, and they were set on mischief. That was his excuse. He said, these are the people that you gave to me, and they are set on mischief. Right. He knew what he was getting himself into, didn't he? But yet, He went along with the popularity of the people. He didn't want to stir a stink. And they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him. And then one more verse. And said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off the ear, off the ears that is, and wherever they had it. And they gave it to me, and then I cast it into the fire, and there came out a calf. Wow, just boom, out came a calf. Kind of like a mother developing a baby. We know it's important to be able to live for the Lord because He gives us the peace. He gives us the very reconciled way of knowing how to deal with people. And so Moses saw the golden calf and the people dancing, and it made him hot displeasure. You know, we ought to hate the things that God hates and love those things that God loves.
Amen.
Right.
But yet we've got to guard our heart. Because just like I think it was King anyway. You know, what was his first name? Martin Luther?
Martin Luther.
Yeah, Martin Luther. That's what it was. He said this. When the devil fights me the most, he says it's not in the daytime, but it's in the middle of the night. And brother, isn't that the truth? You lay there and you can't sleep and the devil will run that thing through your mind. Whatever it might have been in the past or whether it be the future, the present. He will run garbage through your mind and you fight the worst battle, at least I do. And that's why that we have to be guarding our heart with all diligence. Quote a scripture. Get up and go read the Bible. But it's a whole lot easier saying just a little bit more time and go to sleep. You ever have that problem? I do. I wake up at 3 o'clock and I wake up this time and I take a melatonin. Sometimes it only lasts a couple hours and I'm awake again. But you know, it's important to know that the Lord wants us to be able to look at things rightly. And just a little bit longer, what time is it? 5 till? A little bit longer, and then we will call it good. Let's look at verse 19. And it came to pass as soon as he came anigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses was waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. And he had to go back up there, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But how did he discipline? He said, as I recall, you that are for me, get on this side of the line.
Yeah.
And 3,000 were swallowed in, it might have been an earthquake, I don't know for sure. But they were swallowed up in the ground, weren't they? They had fear in their hearts, didn't they? They knew exactly what was going on, but they were a stiff-necked people. And we're living among stiff-necked people today that do not want to adhere to sound doctrine. And I got several scriptures I could go with that, but we'll run out of time. And we know it's important to be able to have the Word of God hidden in our hearts that we might not sin against God. And we want to meditate on God's Word that we might not sin. Matter of fact, let's just read one of the ones that I've got here. And that is 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy 4:2. If I can find it, quick look. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. All that belongs to a preacher. It doesn't belong to me. Oh, yes, it does belong to you. Because we have to be out there among the people, and that's exactly what the Lord wants you to be there for.
Amen.
I remember working for Vermont's Construction in the days past, and they were always mocking me for my testimony, and one guy got saved from Texas. I remember that, out of all that. But you know, the Lord says in the scripture, he says, consider him that endured such contradictions, lest you become weary and faint in your mind, as that scripture comes to mind. We know sometimes we faint. We don't say, they won't hear what I got to say. There's no need of me continuing to talk to them. But you don't know what's going to come after that.
Right.
You don't know. Just like what was the situation that I heard Brother Jordan talking about somebody he witnessed to the other day. And his granddaughter, 2.5 years old, fell out of a swing and broke her neck and died. Died. And it broke that guy's heart. You know, God uses pain sometimes in somebody else's life to get your attention. And wouldn't that be a terrible thing? I think of my son. It's wayward. It's not even probably saved. I think of him all the time. Why, Lord, why does he have to live like this? Why does this not shake him up with a broken leg like that, shattered, and now he's in pain? Well, as the old saying has it, no pain, no gain. So there might be something involved there that the Lord is doing, undermining me, in my mind anyway, that I don't see. And so we know the Lord is... let's read this. I got here and I didn't read it, did I? 4:2. Preach the word and be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. For after their own flesh they shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. Boy, isn't that the truth. But watch thou in all things endure affliction and do the work of an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist, you say. Yes, you are. Wherever you go, you're an evangelist.
Right.
And like I said, I got all kinds of information. You know, I get more out of this than probably you do. You know why? Because it's here. And I want to use it, and I hope this message has done a little bit for you to realize the hotness of God's displeasure. He looks at our heart, and he searches the heart and knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. And he ponders your heart. Boy, that'll be enough to wake you up. Let's go ahead and pray and ask God that he will give us a good week. And, you know, sometimes I don't always tell jokes and I don't always entertain up here, do I? But the Lord will use his word, not me, but his word to provoke us to do good things. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be able to come into your presence. We thank you for using even myself. Because I know I'm unworthy to be able to bring a message, but I know that you'll use your word to penetrate our hearts, to be able to spur us on to do the things that you'd have us to do. And it's important, Lord, to know that we are little preachers. We are evangelists. We're to go out there and we're to tell others about their need, no matter what. And Lord, help us to take tracts with us. Help us to give them out. Help us to pray about different people that we do think will be receptive. So use this message to spur us on and provoke your words in our hearts throughout the week that we might be better servants for you. We ask all this and much more in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.